It's almost like we live with tunnel vision.
Yeah.
And we don't, one of the things is that the media now is so visual that we see such extreme things, even on the television, that bombards us with things we can't comprehend, that even things like that don't necessarily shock us anymore. But I just want to look just quickly at the Good Samaritan. If you turn to Luke chapter 10, we'll just read the story of the Good Samaritan. It's a well-known account that Jesus shared with his disciples. Verse 30, Luke chapter 10, verse 30. It says, "A certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers. And they stripped him and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. And by chance a certain priest was going down on that road, and when he saw him he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him pass by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him he felt compassion, and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend than I return, I will repay you.' Which of these 3 do you think proved to be neighbour to the man who fell into the robber's hands?" You know, when you see the things that's taking place in different parts of the world, and you look at the regimes that are in place there, there's a lot of civil war, there's a lot of corruption, there's a lot of fighting going on, and the ordinary person's caught up in it, with a very little voice or no voice at all, but they're just caught up in all that's going on, and they're one of the victims, one of the innocent victims. Some of the countries, some of the religions, don't really take care of the ones that are down. I mentioned about the children in India, the girls. One of the things about Islam is that the children, the girls, are second class citizens. They are childbearers, and in some ways they're just demoted to animal classification. They're there to bear children and that's it, and they have no say in the life and what goes on. But when we look at the Good Samaritan and you start looking into what happened, We know the story. Most of you know the story of the Good Samaritan. And the help came from an unexpected quarter. It didn't come from where you'd expect it to come. If you have a nation, and a nation has problems within the nation, you'd expect the help to come from the nation. And that's not how it works. It doesn't work. Because often these governments, these regimes, have their own agendas.
Yeah.
It might be a military one, a power one, a corrupt financial one. But they don't seem to care about these people. But the thing about the Good Samaritan, and he was the unexpected helper, he shouldn't really have had anything to do with the people that he was going to help. Their religion, they were supposed to keep separate. But you see, this Samaritan, he is something special. Because he didn't limit his box of operation. He didn't say, that's nothing to do with me. Oh, I've seen it all, seen what's happening, but it's nothing to do with it. No, he didn't say that. The religious ones did. The religious ones either ignored it, pretend they hadn't seen it, or just felt, oh, they've got more important things to do, being religious. But the Good Samaritan, he stopped. And he wasn't caught up in his own religious dogma either. He stopped and he had compassion. Good word, that, compassion. The thing is, compassion is an active word. You can feel sorry for somebody and do nothing about it. But compassion is something that works through. Yeah. And he took the injured man and he gave of his own substance to help that man. Now, he didn't know who that man was. He had no idea who he was. But he gave his own substance. And the amount he gave was something like a day's wage. So if you're on £200 a week and you work a 5-day week, what's that, £40? You know, just to help a man that he didn't know who he was. He could have left him and gone. And not only that, his help was ongoing. These are long-term commitments. We sponsored a child in Vietnam and they've had to close the door. Well, what they've done, it was World Compassion, and they've pushed them out of that area. So we got somebody else now. But it's an ongoing need. And it's not only the child that benefits. When people give into a community, that might provide a water source, a clean water source. They drill down or put a pump in. The whole community benefits from that. They give them the ability to provide for themselves. This is a comparatively recent concept that they've worked on. It's one thing to give somebody a bowl of rice and say, eat that. What do they do when that rice is gone? They have to come back for more. If you give them the rice to plant and the tools to work them, then you're giving them more. You're giving them something that they can work with, that can keep some seed at the end then to plant again. Because, you know, they'll have a tenfold or a hundredfold increase from the seeds that they plant. So they'll have some seed left. And that teaches them and helps them to be self-sufficient. They don't want to rely on charity. You know, it's not that these people aren't prepared to work. They probably do work way beyond anything we even know. Yeah, they probably work so long that they haven't really got time to sleep and they do nothing else. That's the type of thing we've seen. News things of the children scavenging on the tips in different countries. And the problem is, when we see these things, is to click into the reality of it, because we see it, it's in a different world, and we look at it, and then we get up and we go and do our own things, whatever we're involved in, and it's like it's not real. But the situations still go on. And we can't sort everything out. Individually, we can't sort everything out. And one of the helps in such as the compassion sponsorship is that it gives us chance to do something. To do something. If you don't sponsor anyone, I'd encourage you to get involved. I know there's compassion. We have World Vision. So there's different organisations do it. And it's a good way, because it identifies with a person, with a family, with a community, with an area, with a country. It gives you something to zone in on. And you do something positive. And you see the child grow within the community and within his family. One of the other things with this Samaritan, what would his friends say? They knew the rules and regulations of their religion. He was breaking their rules and regulations by helping this man. So what were his friends going to say? Well, if they were real friends, they're going to see what was really happening. You see, those that were expected help didn't give the reaction that you would expect or that they should have done. They walked away or they avoided. Why? Well, it could have been religion. Could have been their, you know, religious things that were getting in the way. Could have been just indifference.
Yeah.
They're just not interested. Or they could have had other agendas. You know, I've got things more important to do. I've got, you know, I've got the world to save. Or I've got this country to run, or whatever. But at the end of it, it's the little child that's left alone. It's the little child that's without help. And sometimes these people might have had a natural repulse of what they saw. They saw somebody that had beaten up at the side of the road. They might have thought, well, if we go and help it, we might get beaten up. Or, you know, he might have hepatitis B or something, you know, and we might catch it, or you don't know. But in some of the situations we see in different parts of the world, there could be a natural repulse. We could be self-justifying in saying, well, they won't have. Well, look at what their own country's doing. They've got people that are millionaires living off oil revenues and one thing and another, and all this poverty there, and they're not doing anything about it. Well, that's probably happening. But it doesn't help that little child.
No.
That little child still needs the help that nobody else can give other than through these organisations. That the Islamic, and it was mentioned, the Islamic countries are letting Christian organisations in to do the work that they won't do themselves.
Yeah.
And then they turn around and they're condemning the Christians and they say that, you know, they've got a war on Christians. But they're letting them in to do their dirty work. They're forgotten ones. But the Samaritan wasn't held back. Another one is the woman at the well. If you turn to John chapter 4, John chapter 4. About the woman at the well. This is Jesus meeting somebody he's not supposed to, because his religion tells him he's not supposed to, or the religious people of the day said. But verse 10 says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would ask him and he would have given you living water.
Yeah.
Jesus has something special to bring. Only he could bring. And it says in verse 27, it says, and at this point his disciples came and they marvelled that he had been speaking to a woman, yet no one said, what do you seek, or why do you speak with her? You see, they had the doubts of whether he should be speaking to her. But he had no restrictions on who he should speak to. He knew he got something to say to her that would bring life to her. And we can bring life to the youngsters that we see. And it's not only the youngsters. You know, I mean, the thing with children is that they have years yet to grow up.
Yeah.
So you sponsor a child when they're young and you see them grow up. But the things that come into them and their community help everyone. They have specific helps themselves in terms of education and healthcare and that. But a lot of the things the whole community benefits from. And Jesus can work through them. And we've gone up to, I know that, you know, a lot, if not all of us, give into this type of ministry. And it is a ministry. Because we are giving from our abundance. And we say, oh, we're short of things, you know, and we've got dishwashers and we've got washing machines and we've got televisions and, you know, different things, and we say we're short. And we don't know the meaning of the word. We really don't. I think if we went to some of these countries and just saw what's happening. Now, Kerry, who works at the unit, her daughter has just gone into a sixth form. And one of the things they're doing, they're going to take them into some of these areas to work there. And I thought, yeah, that's brilliant, because it will be a life-changing experience, because it's one probably will be the only opportunities you'll get to see the extreme of how people are living. Yeah. Because we don't know. Yeah. One of the things we see in this country, we see a church in a lot of respects that's struggling. Mm-hmm. You'll go to other countries, you'll see a church that's growing. Mm-hmm. You see, when we've got this tunnel vision, we think our world is everything that's happening. Because we're touching at the edges. We're just touching at the edges. But what's happening in the world is God's kingdom is being built. Yeah. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it.
Amen.
So if we're seeing a localized dip, don't translate it into a world dip.
No.
You know, we last year, Megashift. That's what that came in, and that was throwing some statistics up.
Yeah.
If you've not read that Megashift, Claire, get it out and start reading it. I mean, it's quite easy. You get a present and you look at it a bit and put it on one side. But in there, the statistics of what God is doing in different parts of the world, and the real church, the nucleus of the church, is growing.
Yeah.
And it's growing in power.
That's it.
And you're looking places like China that's trying to kill off the Christian church. It will never do it.
Mm.
It will. And people are laying down their lives for it to grow.
Mm.
But compassion is a tremendous word.
Mm.
But it's a word that has to keep going on.
Mm.
And the work that's done through compassion and other, the people with vision, and people are living out what God said.
Yeah.
You know, we can be religious and we can have our time together and we can live our lives and we can enjoy ourselves. But that's not what God intended. There's enough food in the world to feed everybody. It's just that it's not shared right. And it's the same with the wealth. There's enough wealth in the world for everybody, but it's not shared right. And one of the biggest bottlenecks is the haves giving to the have-nots.
Yeah.
And Jesus put it very clearly when he talked about getting through the eye of a needle, getting a camel through the eye of a needle. And that can be quite how it is, getting the wealth out of a rich man to give to the poor. We've got something, and I'm not really watched the program in recent days. I've got these millionaires going back to their origins and work, and just going incognito and working on them, giving some money to those that they find in need. Then, you know, there might be the multimillionaires and this and other, and they'll give 10,000 into the whatever, and it's, what's that? You know, they don't even, they probably don't know how much they're worth at nearest million. And they give 10,000, 20,000. But you see, when the children in these different areas of the world, when they're receiving, There's a tremendous gratitude from them. Because they don't know you. They don't know who's given it. But they know somebody is, and somebody cares enough to give. We used to get cards and letters from the young lad in Vietnam. Photos every so often to see how they were growing. And now we've got somebody else in another country. Yeah. We've yet to get to know them. We've not written to them yet. Normally we'll get something to send for Christmas, a Christmas card. Some areas of the world, there's severe restrictions on what you can put on the card. You have not got to name Jesus on the card. It's because of the areas it's going into sometimes. But other areas, I think, are open to the gospel, open to the good news of the kingdom. And these nations, these people, see who's helping them. And see their own religion, their own national religions don't help them. And Christians from the other side of the world come and help them through compassion and world vision and others. I don't know whether Christian Aid and others probably do something similar. But I encourage you to get involved. Be like the Good Samaritan. Think outside the box. You know, it's not another world apart. And it's so easy to think that. And you see the tear-jerking things, and then we walk away and we forget it and we're on to something else. Just plant the seed. Plant the seed and keep watering it. You can get involved as much as you like, writing to these. You can write little or you can write often. But they will benefit. They will benefit from your commitment and your ongoing commitment. So I'll just leave that with you this afternoon. I'll preach where I was going to preach another day. But we had an interesting thing on Friday, and I was going to follow on from that today. But that's for another week. I think God had got different ideas today. But be encouraged. God is at work. And these people that we see that the world's forgotten, God has not forgotten them. And we try and get the message across to the people we see on a Friday evening through Teen Challenge. And we try and get that message across to them. And they sometimes won't accept it. God has not forgotten them. And God has not forgotten you, and he's not forgotten me. Praise God. Amen.